says in the Holy Quran, "The life of this world is nothing but a game. If we did not have problems, life would be very boring. Allah created us in order for us to have fun. He didn't create us so that we live in misery. If we don't have fun at a theme park, parents ask why we are not having fun. Similarly, if we don't have fun in this world, Allah will ask why we are not having fun. Moments of not having fun should result in us doing istighfar and asking for forgiveness for not having fun. Imams were Muslim and oppressed. The reason is that they were unable to create an environment where people could enjoy. Having fun comes with three conditions. Number one, the fun you should have should be lasting, not temporary. Number two, the fun should be deep and profound, not shallow. Number three, it should not be detrimental or harmful. All the restrictions of Allah is so that we can have more lasting fun. Having wrong understanding will make us run away." A letter from Imam Ali alayhi salam to Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr and Najil Balaga says, "No, O servants of Allah, the pious people have left the world and gone to the Akhirat. They share enjoyments of the world among the people of the world, but people of the world don't share enjoyment of people of Akhirat. Pious people live in place better than the place of people of the world. They eat better food, they wear better clothes, they marry better spouses, and they have better rides. Love, this is different from love of the world. Love of the world is reason of all mistakes. It could be anything like reading Quran or doing prayers. A hermit visited a great scholar who was known for his piety. The hermit saw that the scholar lived in a great mansion, and the hermit told the scholar that he could meet his master to learn the true Islam. When they left the house, the hermit wanted to go back to get his bowl. The scholar told him, "I left behind a mansion at a moment's notice for knowledge, but you can't even leave a bowl behind." Having enjoyment does not have anything to do with the love of the world. Now I'll give a summary of yesterday's speech. People follow religion in a shallow way. They are deceiving themselves, and thus we end up hurting ourselves. Example is bargaining for something that is already cheap, and then you buy it without having any interest. This is the situation of many religious people. Such religion and practice will be abandoned very easily. Any problems that come, and Islam is the first thing that goes away. This is because we have not accepted Islam meaningfully. Loving Imam and being in the army of Imam are completely different things. We can't be in the army of Imam when we leave Islam, for example when a wedding happens and we play music, which is haram. When a little bit of service is done for Allah, an ego comes to us and we feel that Allah owes us something. The reason of this is because we accepted Islam with shallow reasons. When we feel lazy in doing something religious, we should look at the reason why we are being lazy. People who know what true pleasure is love to do prayers. Allah created us so we can have fun, and those who are not having fun have not understood religion properly. And all the haram and wajibat are so that we can have more pleasure. There are two questions that come into people's minds. The first question is that, won't we get bored in paradise from having so much fun? The first thing we have to look at is our nature and see where this question is coming from. Our nature is to seek ultimate pleasure. As long as you have this wish, that's good. Allah wants us to enjoy life since this is our nature. The height of what we have done is that we have cried for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But this crying is nothing compared to Imam Hussein's sacrifice. And Bibi Zainab said, called this sacrifice a small sacrifice, which she wanted Allah to accept. When we go for Hajj, it's not completed until we meet the Imam of our time. What does meeting the Imam mean? Does it mean that we look, just see him physically? No, it means that we have a similar vision as the Imam. Hazrat Abbas had the closest vision to Imam Hussein, and that's why he was the Alamdar of Imam Hussein. Allah says that very few people are shukur, which means to be thankful from the bottom of the heart. The second question people have is, why did Allah create us? The answer of worshipping Him does not answer it for us. So we have to look at it in a different way, so that this question never comes to us. If Allah gives $1 billion to us, we would never ask why we got this. If the giver asked for $1,000 back, then we wouldn't complain about giving such little back. The same is with Allah. He has given us so much, and we should thank Him for all that He has given us. Once we start having intense fun, we won't have this question of why we were created. This question is asked by those who are miserable. It's enough that Allah brought us into creation from nothing to thank Him. Some still say, so what? Why create us? This was the same person who burned the door of Bibi Fatima. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Allah created us so that we would benefit from Allah's love and mercy, and so that we reach the highest of bounties. Allah gave lazzat in the form of Ahlul Bayt. For taking pleasure here, we will have pleasure being with Imam Hussein in paradise. Salawat. Now I request everybody to stand up and come forward as the Maulana comes up to give us to give a lecture. Salawat.
Surat al-Fatiha. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanil la'in ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wasalatu Wasalam ala Ashrafil Anbiya wal Mursaleen Sayyidina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim Muhammad
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad
wa ala alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. In whichever way you want to answer the question of why we are created, and many answers are given. Why have we been created? Is it ibadat, worship? Is it to reach qurbatan ilallah, the nearness to Allah? Are we created to reach kamal and perfection? Whatever answer you give, you see that the ultimate answer, the result of all these answers, is pleasure. If you say that we should reach kamal and perfection, that's what we have been made for, and the higher stages of iman and faith, then reaching the higher stages, achieving that, is a source of pleasure. What would be the meaning of that height, where at the end of it is pain and misery? It won't be a height. Why would you want to reach a height that's ending in pain or misery or difficulty? The idea of height or reaching close to Allah is a source of pleasure. Is so that that we can be happy, that we can enjoy. Allah's company is enjoyable. If our goal is to reach Ahlul Bayt and to love them, we're not loving them because we will end up in misery. We are loving them because it's a source of joy and pleasure. Whatever idea anyone gives to you, look at that idea and see at the end of it, what are you getting? Then you will understand the statement that really the only goal, with all these goals, the only goal Allah created us for is to give us the ultimate enjoyment, to help us reach the height of pleasure. He wants you to be so happy that He wants you to reach the height of happiness. Don't stop short of that. Allah says, you like being happy? He says, yes. Do you like enjoyment? Don't try to deny your nature. Say it, yes. That's all right, good. Do you like pleasure? Yes. Now Allah says, good, you like it? Now, if you like it, what if I say that I want you to reach the ultimate pleasure? If you like this pleasure, then you know what? There is an ultimate pleasure, ultimate happiness. This is our nature. Our nature, Allah made us on this fitrat that we seek happiness. We seek pleasure. And to deny that is denying our own self. Many times, this is what shaitan has done. He has made the concept of religion such that religion is stopping you from having fun and enjoying and seeking pleasure. Now, because it's your nature, really, no matter how much you say, I need to be good, what does that mean? What is the meaning of good? I need to avoid pleasure. Since when did that become the meaning of good? Understand, you see, our nature is that we seek happiness. That's one of the reasons I, you know, as a human being, obey my Creator. Because I seek happiness. And this happiness is growing. There is a happiness that is at the pinnacle of our journey. I want to reach that. This is our nature. Islam never stopped us from following this nature. Really understand it, because when deen, when religion, when Islam is explained in the wrong way and is told in the wrong way, there is always doubts that we have. In fact, someone who doesn't seek pleasure or he denies himself that, he designs himself, he sees, you know, no, I don't want pleasure, I want to go through hardships. I want to go through difficulties. We all go through difficulties. Really, who is not going through difficulties in life? Whether you are a mu'min, a Shia, or whether you are a kafir, you are going through difficulties in life. وَخَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. We have made you in suffering. This is the nature of life that we are living. So we all are going through difficulties. We all are going through certain suffering. And everyone is going through different. There's a variety of suffering. Choose your poison. Right? What do you want? Right? You want cancer? Go ahead. You know, you can have a choice, you know. Allah says, I'll give you something which I haven't given him. I'll give him something that I've given him. Everyone goes through this. Right? But the issue is this, that this life that we have been given, if as a mu'min, if we think that Islam is saying that we shouldn't have fun and we stop ourselves from having fun and live a miserable life and we prayed to Allah and worshipped him, fasted, and we thought that by doing this, By doing these things, that now we will go to Allah, and on the day of judgment when we stand before Allah, what will happen? Now we will say, Allah, I stopped myself from enjoying all this time, and now, what's my reward? What is my reward? La ilaha illallah. This is what happens. Really? You want reward for? Okay, then Allah will say, all right, you know. So you want to do accounting with me? Let's go ahead. Let's open the books. Auditing. Let's audit you and see what have you done. What have you done in comparison to what I have given you? Let's see this. And then tell me if you deserve anything. Then tell me that. You see, this is what happens with worshippers, with you know, people who pray, and obviously I don't want to knock them down. I want to raise them up to a higher level. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to raise them up. It's not like religious people, you know. Moroni has an agenda. Oh, I don't have an agenda. It's just like you who want to be good, we who want to be good need to understand what really good is so that we can raise ourselves up and truly, truly follow Islam in the best way possible. And so this is what happens. Ego is what happens. You know, there was a worshipper. I don't know if you heard the story or not, but you know, let me tell you anyway, in brief, you know. This worshipper, you know, in the time of Bani Israel, long time ago, you know. And, you know, he worshipped Allah for 40 years straight. 40 years. You know how much that is? You know, we worship Allah for 40 minutes, we are tired. Right? We have a hard time even making our wajibat. Right? And here's this guy who prayed and worshipped and made dua and amal for 40 years. Imagine that. And he looked at all the other people around him, you know, like someone who has prayed a lot for 40 years in Moomin Center, looks at all the others and say, man, you know, I mean, if there's anyone who's going to heaven, it has to be me. I've done more than these people. You know, man, they don't even come for the important days. Right? And I've been here 40 years doing this. So let's say, you know, he thought that he was going to heaven. And he thought that, you know, I mean, I deserve it because, hey, if I don't go, then no one else is going. Right? So what happened is that, you know, he, Allah wanted to teach him a lesson. So, you know, one day when he was a monk, he was a hermit. So he was worshipping Allah in the middle of the jungle, and Allah dried up the whole region. There was no water there. And he was looking around for water until he got thirsty, and he was so thirsty he wasn't able to handle it. And he saw someone walking who was walking right by him conveniently with a glass and a jug of water, you know. And he saw that. He says, excuse me. He says, yes. I'm really thirsty. Can you give me a glass of water? He says, no. What? I'm thirsty. I need water. Really, I'm in very bad shape. He says, all right, I will give you water, but it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. He says, you know, how much is it going to cost me? You know, he started to reach for his wallet. He says, it's going to cost you half of your worship. He says, what? Half of my worship? He says, yes, half of your worship. He says, but you know how much that is? That's 20 years. All right, suit yourself, you know, I mean... If you want it, that's how much it's going to cost. Now, this person became really thirsty. He was parched. He was really on the verge of becoming unconscious, falling down. He says, all right, you know what? Fine. I'll give you half of my worship. Just give me a glass of water. And he got the water and drank it. He drank the water. Now, you know, he got a little bit of energy back. Then he said, you know what? I need to look around for water. Otherwise, I'll face the same impediment, you know, so I'm going to go there. He went, and he went behind this guy with the water. And then after some time, he got thirsty again. And he was so thirsty that now he went to this guy and offered him the other half of his worship and says, take the other half and give me a glass of water. He couldn't handle it. So he gave him the other half of his worship. The person gave him the glass of water. Then when he drank the water and regained consciousness, a voice came from the sky and told him, so you thought you deserved heaven. Tell me, how much is your worship worth in front of my blessings? Two glasses of water, that's it? And you deserve heaven now? You think that you are this? My friends, understand this is very important, you know? And we do not say, right? This is a wrong concept. This is a wrong concept that maybe other Muslims have. But we never say, Islam never says, the teachings of Ahlul Bayt never say that you can earn heaven. No one can earn themselves into heaven. Jannat is only by the grace of Allah. It's only by the grace of Allah, His fadl. That's how we go to Jannat. We don't earn, I mean, no one says that. That's not the teaching of Ahlul Bayt. Right? We go to Jannat because of that. So if we go to Allah, if we do not, my friends, if we do not enjoy the pleasures that Allah has given us, our attitude becomes that in front of Allah, that now we have this ujub, this pride on our worship. That I did this, so now I'm proud. Allah, now you owe me this. You owe me this. This is what ends up happening. And when that ends up happening, then you know what? We have gone all wrong. And the reason we have gone all wrong is because we were never supposed to stop enjoying the blessings of Allah. This is why people go wrong. They don't understand the idea that Allah wanted us to have fun, not stop ourselves from having fun. This ibadah, this worship is useless. That leads to ego, sinning, and guna and masiyat was much better. Let me read a hadith now. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. You know, hear this very well. He said, the sin that leads to humility is better than worship that leads to arrogance. Understand this, my friends. Islam, as I said, is not simple-minded religion. It is a very sophisticated religion that answers us according to our nature and human psychology. Leads us to becoming better and in the right way. So when we look at deen, don't look at it black and white. This is it, you know, and how this is. This is a very simple-minded approach to deen, which will mislead us. And we go astray because of these things. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So Allah wants us to feel and experience ultimate pleasure. Now obviously that ultimate pleasure is in Jannat. You can't feel that here. Allah wants us to reach there, right? And wants us to feel that pleasure. That pleasure is in Jannat. I gave you three conditions the other day, right? Three things. Lasting. It should be deep and profound. And it shouldn't be detrimental. These three conditions for pleasure. Yes, that sort of pleasure is found in Jannat. Allah wants us to reach there. But it doesn't mean that we abstain from the pleasures that are in this dunya. Deen is not based like that. That is mentioned very simple-mindedly. That you go through pain here and you'll get gain there. You know, that's not how Deen is saying it to us. That's not how Allah is giving the message to us. That's not how our nature was made. Our nature was not made to abstain from something here. This is a very Christian thing. Of going through difficulties and then going that. Nowadays it's changed because of the polls, you know. You know, changed the whole religion because of polls. People wanted it differently, so they changed things around, you know. This and that. But, you know, for us it was never the case. Really, we were not told to do this. We were not told to abstain from pleasure here so you can get pleasure there. That is not the teaching of Ahlul Bayt. This is what we need to understand. Allah wanted us to have pleasure here. And having it is going to lead us to the pleasure there. That's the relationship which we want to understand. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Yes. There is, you know, difficulties in life here. In dunya, there are difficulties. And in akhirah, there is reward, right? There's ajr, there's pleasure, there's all that. Here, there are difficulties. But in the framework of the structure of the life that Allah has made here, with all the difficulties, Allah wants you to enjoy the difficulties and the spaces and places between those difficulties. La ilaha illallah. That's it. Wow. Why shouldn't we take pleasure? I mean, I'm living my life. Allah says, enjoy life. Now explain these 2 days, right? That, you know, Allah wants us to enjoy. And when we don't, He's asking us, why aren't you enjoying? So why shouldn't we enjoy life? Really, my friends, a mu'min, the hadith I mentioned, a mu'min enjoys more than the kuffar. This is the hadith of the Imam, right, that I read for you, and it's true. A mu'min enjoys more than the kuffar do. Really. Because enjoyment in the midst of difficulties and going through difficulties, when you enjoy something, is much more pleasurable when you enjoy it in ease and comfort. Now let me read a hadith for you. Are you ready? Send the salawats. This hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Those, you know, he says, Waman dhaka ta'amal bala tahta sitra hifdillah. Whoever tastes, gets the taste of trials and difficulties under the supervision of Allah, in the protection of Allah. When you taste difficulty, when you taste trials, when you taste sufferings, you know, obviously not through your stupidity, but through Allah testing you, through His trials that He has given you, made life, you know, difficult in many places. Allah gives the test, you know, and He will make life difficult, and He will give you those curveballs that you have to deal with. That's the way it is. So when Allah gives you that, and when you taste those trials, He says, "Taladhudhu aktharu min taladhudhihi bin ni'mah." His pleasure, His lazzat, His enjoyment is more than His enjoyment in blessings. La ilaha illallah.
Nare takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
You see this hadith, what it is saying? It's saying that, you know, if you get the taste of that suffering, of that difficulty, or that trial, you know, really, you would want it all the time. You wouldn't want ease. You wouldn't want comfort. That's what you would want. You know, I mean, really. Tell me, you know, I mean, you watch the Super Bowl sitting on your recliner, you know, with popcorn or chips in your hand and a Pepsi or Coke, right? And you know what? You are too lazy even to get up. But you're enjoying the game, right? You're not getting hurt. Well, you are eating all those chips and Coke, you know. You're hurting yourself, but... You're not physically getting hurt. You know, no one's, you know, bouncing on you. No one's tackling you down. You're not getting your bones broken. Now when you watch, and who are you watching? You're watching people who are breaking each other's bones. Right? And they, in all the pain that they're in, are playing a game. And you know what? Really, look at those guys playing it. You know, sometimes, you know, I mean, really, you know, I mean, I personally enjoy varsity football, right? NCAA football, because of the fact there's no money involved. These guys are doing it for the fun. In the NFL, there's money involved and all these things, right? It loses its luster. But when you watch these guys play, and they are like going all out and hurting themselves, and, you know, they're going to the BCS championship. I think that's finished now, right? You know? They're going to that, and they're playing their, you know, I mean, they're playing hard, and they're getting hurt, and they're playing in pain. Now you look at them and say, man, why are you playing in pain for? Why don't you relax? You see, there's a pleasure that they are feeling in that pain. If you ask them, hey, listen, you know, you're in pain. Why don't you just leave the Super Bowl and take a vacation? Would they do that? Tell me. I mean, why wouldn't they do that? They're having, you know, why? They're having fun, but they're in pain. They're going through the pain. They're saying, listen, I don't care if I'm in pain. I don't care if my, you know, if I'm injured. I want to be there so I can have fun. I can have pleasure in that. My friends, this is it. If a person understands the pleasure that's in difficulty and pain that only comes through that, then he will never go after ease and comfort. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Understand where pleasure is. Imam is saying, really, that's where. And here, when you are going through pain under Allah's supervision, Allah, you told me to do this, I'm doing this, but it's painful. So what happens when you taste that, taste the pleasure of that, then really you won't go back. Allah, I don't want it. I want to be in that situation. La ilaha illallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. My friends, Allah made us for pleasure. That's our nature. We go after pleasure. Understand this. Because if it wasn't the case, then it would really be wrong on Allah to make us, to give us a nature that is seeking pleasure, to put the objects of pleasure in front of us, to give us the ability to enjoy those things, and then say, oh, can't touch it. But you know, Allah, it's a trap. You think Allah would do that? Why would Allah set you up in a trap that is unwinnable? Really, it's wrong for Allah to put you in a situation like this where it's your nature to seek pleasure and giving you the objects of pleasure in front of you and giving you access to it and ability to enjoy it and then says, you can't do it. You're like, but Allah, it's right there. Can I just take a little bit? Nope. I mean, you know, then we'll be like, really, our minds will be confused. We will be confused. And people who think that's religion, their deen is confused. In their hearts, they have doubts. On their tongues, they don't want to admit it. In their hearts, they have doubts. Why Allah? Why is this? But they won't say it in front of others because obviously, you know, that would be disrespecting Allah in front of others. But really, that doubt remains in the heart until it haunts you. It completely haunts you and you're like, you know, really, I mean, then it really goes to the basis of our deen and says, wow, I don't know, is there a God? I don't want to admit it because if I do, you know, my parents will freak out first, you know. And if the community gets to know about it, they'll condemn the parents. What, you raise your child like this? Right? And then you're afraid even to say it. You keep it in your heart. And it just grows. That tree of doubt will grow. Because that wasn't religion. You understood that to be, and you were never went after what is real. You were never explained what is real, and you lived with that doubt. My friends, we don't want to end up like that. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. A little bit I'll speak about the difficulties of life. And I want you to understand these things, right? Because, You know, you can say that, yeah, Maulana, I mean, it's easy for you to say difficulties in life and, you know, and hardships, this and that, you know, but you know what? When you face them, it's a whole different story. Okay, let's look at these difficulties of life. You know, there are hardships and no one can deny it. Is there anyone who can say that, you know, my life is completely comfortable? Every day, 24/7, that's it. That's all. I'm in comfort. Right? If you do that, I'll say, what's wrong with you? Right? What's wrong with you? Are you handicapped? You know, are you in a bubble or what? What's going on? You know? You leave your house, there's difficulties, there's fear. Right? You leave your house, there's fear. Understand this. You know what I mean? Wasn't there a recent incident that a girl just died on the street? In a car? What? Are you going to stop leaving your house now? Understand this, my friends. This is real life. This is what happens. You go out, there's fear. I don't know, something can happen. You know, I have, you know, I mean, you know, I go out and eat, you know, maybe I get food poisoning. Right? Or if you eat Pakistani food, you get all kinds of diseases. I don't know. That's why they're laughing. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Umar. And then if you stop with all of that, then you hear in the news about Ebola, you know? And you're like, I can't fly anymore. There's Ebola going around. I mean, really, as an Ebola, as an illegal immigrant, you know, walking around. Understand this. I mean, this is, you know, fear. Wherever you go, there is fear. There is that, you know, risk. Life is full of that. Life is difficult. You got to live. You got to work. You got to work. You got to educate yourself. You got to do all these things. Man, so much pressure. There is that. My friends, now I want you to see this. When you are going through difficulties in life, are you concerned about them? Right? You are. You should be. Of course you are concerned about them. You want to make sure that, you know, you don't end up worse than what you are. Right? You know, let's say, for example, your job is hard and you don't like it, but there's no other job. Are you going to leave it because, hey, you know what? I just want off, man. I don't like this job. No, you stick with that job even though you hate it. You hate the job, you stick with it. Why? Because it pays the bills. If I stop working, who's going to pay the bills? That is fear is there. Difficulties are there. So my friends, understand this. When you are going through difficulties, and I'm talking to people who believe in God, right? You all believe in God. You all know that Allah is there. And tell me, when you go through these difficulties, don't you think that Allah knows that you're going through difficulties? Yeah. I want you to really look at this now. Really, look at yourself and look at your relationship with Allah. What do you think Allah is? Does He like you? Does He like it when you are in suffering? Really, look at Allah. Because Allah is the one who is making you go through this. Not just you, everyone else. You are not the only one. Everyone else is going through this. Do you think Allah likes it when you are going through hardship, when people go through difficulties? I want you to really answer from the bottom of your heart of what you think about Allah. What do you really think about Allah? Does He like it? You know, when you were like, for example, in hardship and pain, and Allah is looking at you, ah, I got him, you know. Really, what is our view of Allah? Really, we need to, I'm sorry, I'm, you know, trying to expose very inner thoughts that are prevalent in the minds and hearts of people. But really, if we want to become great, we need to answer these hard questions. Really, I mean, that's why when you are looking at difficulties, hardships, you know, when Allah looks at you and sees you in pain, He cannot wait to take you out of this painful situation. This is how Allah is looking at you. See, I can't wait to take you away from this painful situation. I'm waiting to make you live in ease and comfort. I'm waiting for that. Yes, yes, yes. Very good. And you will get that answer. Right? You will get that answer, my friends. La ilaha illallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, because we believe in Allah, we don't mention these things or have these doubts. You know, we do might have this doubt, but you don't say it out loud because, you know, you don't want to say it to others. It's like, for example, have you ever seen a child? A child when he, for example, he goes through some difficulty or some pain, he gets hurt. You know, when he is with other people, he doesn't cry, you know, he doesn't say anything. As soon as he sees his mother or father, right away they start crying. Right away they start to cry because they know that my mother cares. My father cares. That's why you see a lot of times a mu'min doesn't express these things to others because he wants to express it to Allah because he knows Allah cares. He knows Allah cares. That's why Allah, I'm opening in front of you. I know you care. You are watching me go through this. That's why I make dua to you. I make munajat to you. Not to others. I don't want to show them that I'm going through this. But I want to show it to you. I want to say it in front of you. I know that. That's why I'm talking to you. I opened up with you. Friends, this is Allah. He cares that we are going through these things. People have a hard time believing that pleasure and lazzat and enjoyment have anything to do with spirituality and growth and faith. Because of the fact that pleasure and lazzat has been used with demeaning things so much by the people. When you say lazzat, you know, or like pleasures, you know, you're like, you know, looking at carnal pleasures and disgusting and despicable and horrible things, you know, people do and use this word with. We think that lazzat is a demeaning thing because people use it like that. People use it in the wrong meaning. And that's the problem we have. Allah uses pleasure and says pleasure and ease and comfort is a means by which you can meet me. You know, fasting, for example, when you fast, the whole day you're hungry and you feel good, right? Yeah, you feel good because you're obeying Allah's laws and you are fasting and you're not eating anything, you're hungry. Allah is watching you. Allah is watching you that you are hungry. Yes, you're going through this. And you know what happened? Then the time for iftar comes. And you eat iftar. Now in iftar, you're breaking your fast. Now you're entering into Allah's blessing. And it is blessing, right? Now food, I'm eating food. You know what the hadith says? He says when you eat iftar, eating iftar is the mulaqat and meeting with Allah. Allah didn't say when you're fasting, you're meeting me. Allah says when you're eating iftar, you're meeting me. Yes. Now you have pleasure, now you're meeting me. Now you're with me because you're having pleasure now. My friends, this is pleasure. You know, there was a time that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he was speaking to his companions about the rewards of marriage, the thawab and rewards of marriage. One of the companions stood up, you know, not the smartest people, but, you know, stood up and said and asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to say? You mean to say that we can have fun and also get rewarded for having fun? That we can, you know, make the cake and eat it too? We can have fun and yet be rewarded? You see where this question is coming from? Complete misunderstanding that, you know, when you have fun, there's no reward after that. Only in pain is there reward. That's the idea that people had of deen. Rasulullah is saying, no. Really, true reward is in pleasure. When you are seeking pleasure and experiencing it, that's when you are being rewarded also. In fact, when a person goes through pain, and I'm talking about every human being, this is an ideology that we have. In our aqaid, we have this. That when Allah makes a person go through suffering in life and pain in life, then Allah will compensate for that pain. He will compensate you for that pain. Not just you, kuffar also. You get ajr, you get thawab. Thawab is different. You will get the thawab of your ibadat, reward of your ibadat. But compensation, Allah is giving for all human beings. If He has made a kafir go through difficulty in life, then Allah is saying, I will compensate him for that difficulty. Because Allah made him go through that difficulty. Allah made him go through that hardship. Allah will compensate, whatever, however that compensation is, by easing his time in barzakh, by lessening his punishment in hell, whatever it is. If Allah has given someone pain, then Allah has made it incumbent on himself to compensate for that pain that he made you go through. Understand, Allah doesn't want you to be in pain. He wants you to be in pleasure and ease. This is what He wants. And this is when we truly understand that. Let me explain how that happens if you send a salawat. You know, let me give an example, because sometimes, you know, like theory, you know, might be a little bit difficult to understand. You know, I just want to give you some examples, you know, of that, right? You know, my friends, just one example and I'll end it, you know, for today. You know, there's many things to say and I'll say it tomorrow, right? You know, we'll go through it tomorrow. But this is a subject that, you know, when we truly understand it, that inshallah, it will help us to practice Islam and truly understand our relationship with Allah in, you know, a way that we wouldn't want anything else. That we wouldn't want anything else after this. You know, when mother makes food for you and you came back hungry, you know, when you came back hungry and your mother sees you, you know, you're hungry, and obviously she's upset because you're hungry, right? She's upset that you're hungry. Now when she puts the food out on the table and you start eating it, you see, and you eat it with pleasure, then mother feels the pleasure of seeing you pleased, right? You see pleasure. Now, if you're eating it, you know, without any taste or without any, you know, liking it, you're making like faces when you're eating it, you know. You know, the mother will look like that, you know, and she's like, what happened? You didn't like it? She's concerned about you. She's concerned about your pleasure. When you are pleased, then she is pleased. My friends, now understand. When the hadith says that Allah cares more for you than 70 mothers, and that I said just a number. You can't even imagine how much Allah cares about you. When He sees you happy, then He looks at you and says, good, I'm happy. I'm happy. You know, in the hadith, we have, there's a subtle meaning of shukr. There's a subtle meaning of shukr that I find in hadith, right? Because there are many ways to do shukr, right? Say, thank you. But there's one subtle way of saying thank you. That is in Hadith, you know. One of the subtle ways of saying thank you is being happy and not saying anything. Yes. Understand this. You know, when you are happy, you know, then your master is happy. Oh, I'm happy. Right. Now look at your relationship with Allah's relationship with you. Look at this very carefully. I did something, right? I enjoyed Allah's blessing. Now Allah looks at that and says, good, subhanallah, you enjoyed it. So now, when you enjoy it, now do you say, okay, Allah, you know, so what should I do? Should I say thank you? No, no need for thank you. Are you happy with this? If you're happy, then that's what's making me happy. My friends, shukr, the meaning of shukr is to be happy with the blessing Allah has given you. If you are happy with it, then that is giving shukr to Allah. This is shukr. I'm happy. When you're not enjoying it, then Allah says, what happened? Why aren't you enjoying it? I gave you life. What happened? You're not enjoying it? Yeah, again, as I said, many things to be said. Inshallah, I'll go through this tomorrow, right? And understand this tomorrow. Just, you know, because time is up and I'm just, you know, want to give this and take us to Karbala so that we can... you know, the crying for Imam Hussein, doing matam for Imam Hussein, there is a pleasure in it. There is a pleasure in it. There is that joy of expressing my love for Hussein. Whenever we do matam, after that, we're like, you know, there's that comfort that comes in our heart, that peace, that sense of blessing. That I am blessed. The sense of this calm and serenity that comes in our hearts when we do this, right? You know, Imam Ali, when I mentioned the letter he wrote to the people of Egypt, because the people of Egypt were prosperous people. They had a lot of wealth. And Allah spoke to them, Imam Ali spoke to them, not from, you know, the hardships of taqwa, but he spoke to them from the logic of pleasure. So that they understand Allah through the blessings that they have. My friends, the world today is like this. They see blessing, they see happiness, and they want it too. Really, this pleasure that Allah has given in the love of Ahlul Bayt, this crying, this azadari, this matam, however we express it, we should express it more. And truly, that love that dictates this, we should let it be known. Why? Because my friends, you don't need to call people to Islam. Call them to Hussein, they will come to Islam. When you look at the matam that is being done, you know, I mean, when you look at yourself, this pleasure, they look at you and says, why are you so happy? He says, you don't know who Hussein is. Who is Hussein? You don't know. He's the source of my pleasure in life. I enjoy life because I love Hussein. I mean, really, look at yourself and your relationship with Imam Hussein. Then you will understand this, my friends. But yes, sometimes when you look at ourselves like this, even though this is a pleasure for us, even though we feel pleased when we are doing it, but you know what happens? Sometimes you have to say sorry to Imam Hussein. You become embarrassed in front of Imam Hussein, saying to him, Imam Hussein, I'm sorry that I find pleasure. And at the same time, your children are being beaten. I'm sorry. How is it that your children are being beaten and I'm talking about pleasure? La ilaha illallah. My friends, you know what Harvala is? People who don't understand Hussein don't know what Harvala is. You know what Harvala is? Harvala is in between the mountain of Safa and Marwa, where Hajira, was looking for water for her son. In the love of her son, she was, you know, she was going between the two mountains. There was a space in between the two mountains where she started to run. And Allah loved this aspect of her love for her son so much. Allah wanted all Muslims to remember that. You know, all Muslims to remember that. Allah made it a wajib act. You know, that whole walking between the two mountains. Sa'i is wajib. And Harbala, you see, when you go through Harbala, that is that emotion that makes you. He says, do this, and we are doing it. My friends, we just need to look at, if Allah wanted to make customs and ceremony for Karbala, you know, we wouldn't be able to live up to it. Because if we had to make a ceremony of Sakina being dragged from Karbala to Kufa, and he says, you emulate what Sakina went through, who would be able to do that? Who would be able to do that? Sakina was dragged from Karbala to Kufa. Children of Hussein were dragged from there. Now we are here and sitting here. Oh my friends, really, Karbala is something that cannot be emulated. It cannot be made into a ritual or a ceremony. It's too difficult what they went through. Really, my friends, this is love. There is no language for it. There's no barriers for it. When you go, there was one ayah, there's one big ayatullah, very big name. I can't remember him right now, you know. Some years ago, you know. He's marhum, and I can't remember his name. He was such a big marja of the time. He was the marja of the time. And on Ashura, you know, when you go to Karbala, people between the two haramain, between Abbas and Hussein, you see people are running from one to the other. They're making their harwala in Karbala. They're moving from one place to the other. And they're running between the two haramain. And this marja, you know, he took his amama off. He took his abba and he started running also. And the people said, but Agha, Ayatullah, you know, you are a marja. Please don't, you know, do this. Let the people run. You don't need to run. You know what he says? How can I sit down? I see the Mahdi of Fatima running between the two haram. I see Imam Mahdi running between his two haram. My friends, when you come to Hussein, you need to come and you need to know that everyone is paying homage to Hussein. But when you come to Hussein, come a little bit respectfully. Come a little bit respectfully, knowing where he is. Then you will see if you accept his wilayat in that sense. Then, you know what? Hussein is there to accept everyone. That's why when Hur came to Hussein, Hur's head was bowed down, his eyes were closed, there were, his shoes were in his neck, and he was coming towards Hussein. And then when Hussein, and this is the same Hur, I want you to understand Hur. It was on the 2nd of Muharram, this day that we just passed, when Imam Hussein had said, Hur, may your mother cry for you. May your mother cry for you. And Hur wanted to say something back to Hussein, but then something overcame him. And he stopped himself. And when he stopped himself, they asked him, what happened? You want us to say something to Hussein? He says, I could have replied back, but then I thought, Hussein's mother is Fatima. Hussein's mother is Fatima. How can I make myself say something to Fatima? When Hora had that much respect for Fatima and that much dignity, now you see Hora coming towards Hussein. When he came towards Hussein, he sent Abbas to go and get Hora to welcome him to the camp. When Hora was told that Abbas is here to welcome them, Hora dropped down from the horse, started crawling, and when Hussein came there, he fell at the feet of Imam Hussein and said, Hussein, I am sorry, Hussein. Forgive me, Hussein. Forgive me that I have done this to you. I can't bear it now. I put you in this situation. But this is Hussein. Hussein picked up Hur and said, Hur, stand up. Hur, stand up. I have forgiven you and Allah has forgiven you. Now you stand up. Now that standing up of Hussein, that standing up of Hur was a different person when he stood up. Until now he was different. When he stood up as Hussein picked him up, he was different. Now he looked back at the crowd that he came from, the same crowd that he had given so much importance to, that used to please him so much. When he looked back at the crowd, he saw faceless people, he saw creatures that are faceless. He said, and he wondered, is it for you that I used to live my life? Is it for you I used to live my life? Hussein, thank you for giving me a life, Hussein. Thank you for giving me this dignity and this identity that now I am Hur. Let me, Hussein said that Hur was one of the first ones to go in the battlefield. When he went to the battlefield and he died and he was shot down, he went down there. He was lying on the ground. He was lying on the ground when Imam Hussein reached him. He had closed his eyes. He had closed his eyes. Hur came as a servant of Hussein. He closed his eyes. The sun was baking his face. And then he saw something cool over his face. He opened his eyes and saw Imam Hussein's cheek on his own cheek. Imam Hussein's cheek was on his cheek. And he looked at him and said, Man Misli, who is like me that the son of Fatima, his cheek is put on my face? Who is like me now, Man Misli? Who can be like me? I am Hur now.
الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّامٌ قَلَبٍ يَنْقَلَبُونَ يا محمود بحق محمد يا علا بحق علي يا فاطر السماوات بحق فاطمة يا محسن بحق حسن يا قديم الأحسان بحق حسين. Allah give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path, the wisdom to understand your guidance, hasten the reappearance of our Imam, make us his helper when he comes. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. ماتم حسين يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين
Ya Hussein, 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 Ya Hussein,
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein,
Ya Hussein.
Sara jahan mein Hussein Hussein, har ek naam mein Hussein Hussein, zama zama mein Hussein Hussein, har ek zabaan mein Hussein Hussein, Hussein Hussein, Hussein Hussein, Hussein Hussein, Hussein. Har ek zabaan mein, har ek jagah, har reet mein hota hai aza, saare zabaan hai alag magar, Hussein sab ko mila raha, ki क्यों ढूंढे हम इसका मायना, नहीं है कुछ इसमें सोचना, जुलूस और नोहे और रजा, दुआ जहरा की है सिला, हुसैन 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 أنت في البحر النجاة نورك سر للحياة نهتف باسمك للممات دارك لا ننسى هيهات زينب نادى في الفلا عينك في لي في الشدة سقينا من عذب الفرات ويل ويل للطغاة حسين 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 شیش گوشیه کشنگ تو هر کی دیده اینو میگه راهم بده بایام آقا تو حرمت یه بار دیگه از همه جار اون منم اونی کی جامون منم اونی کی بالا پریشا عشقی تو ساز اون منم حسین 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 By giving your head but not your hand You showed us all how to make a stand Against oppression and evil plans You are the guidance to all of man This promise was made when times began Throughout the whole world your name was spanned In every race and in every clan Hussein will live on in every land Hussein Hussein, 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 تاری سو جوان محتاج زانتی حسین نام چھ اختیار سو دی تمہارا جی وی برابری دنیا میں کوئی اب یوں نہ
میرا خدا دیکھ کر مجھ کو لودہ خاک کو خود امام زمان کہہ اٹھے مرحبا اے خدا ماشاءاللہ جی آرزو اے خدا ہے
خدا ہے یہی آرزو
میں امام زمان کا سپاہی بنوں اے خدا
اے خدا ہے یہی
آرزو
اے خدا ہے یہی آرزو
توبہ انجام ہے بس جو میرا رہوں اے خدا حق کے نصرت ادائیوں کرو جب امام اپنے لشکر کو ترتیب دے میں بھی تربا سلا بیک کہتا اٹھوں
اے خدا
ہے یہی آرزو اے خدا ہے یہی آرزو میں امام زمان کا سپاہی بنوں
اے خدا